Can't wait for it to be over. And you forget about how hot it is. You forget about how cramped it is. And you join this community of just belting out this song. And the more the bus driver covers his or her ears, the louder you sing it. That's just how it goes. And the time passes by. And it goes from being miserable to joyful. And in Psalm 24, that's kind of what this does. They're on the long, hot, dusty journey. And they're going to Jerusalem. They're sending up to Jerusalem, and they break out Psalm 124. Psalm 124 has a rich historical parts to it. It has lots of imagery to it. Psalm 124 could have been also sung for times of celebration. It could have been sung as a victory march, if you really look at, like, you know, praise the Lord. And it also could be sung when the world was closing in around them, right? When they're having tough times, like a week we're having now, they'll break out Psalm 124, and they'll reflect on what God has done for them, because they're talking about something that happened in the past when everything was against them. It looked like everything was all was lost, and God came and rescued them. And this psalm could talk to them in remembering how great God is. So let's look at some of the imagery here that we have. Like, I have some pictures up. If we can go advance the slides to, there's a picture of like a fox with looks like a squirrel in its mouth. Oh, this is like the torment, the floods. So with the flood waters here, the waters would have engulfed us. There's a lot of flood imagery. The raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. So being engulfed and overwhelmed and raging water. So that's this flood imagery. There's also, they would have swallowed us alive, raging waters. And then it talks about teeth. And it's not like teeth, molars chewing on cereal. This is the type of teeth they're talking about, like the teeth of a fox or a wolf. That's the predator. It's going to, just devastate. That's the teeth that the Israelites were talking about, that fear. Then there's another picture of being swallowed, being ready to be swallowed alive. Most likely that looks like a squirrel, and it's playing dead, and it's going to be, swallowed alive. Right? Isn't that, like, scary? Yeah. Then there's one more of a bird in a trap, because the Israelites talk about we escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. And that's like the hunter's trap. It's set up with wood, and there's a string, and it's like a loop at the end with some maybe something to attract the birds, like bird seed. And the bird will come down to get the food, and the leg will get ensnared in there. And you'll see how that bird is. It's sitting kind of still. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about like going for a walk or a hike. We were going for a walk in a park near us, along a river, and I'm checking the trail because I'm looking for snakes. And up ahead on the trail, I see a robin actually sitting on the trail. And we're coming closer, and I'm like, wow, we're getting closer. There's the robin. Oh, it's not moving. And I'm walking more, and wow, it's not moving still. And walking, wow, how close can I get to it? And I get close, and I see that the robin was actually in fishing line. And it was staying really still. This ensnared robin was staying just like that bird, still, because they don't want to flail, and that movement would call attention to a hawk flying above, or that flailing would catch the ears of the fox. So it was staying still and as visible as possible, this robin. And then finally, when it saw I was coming for it, I was coming actually to help it, but in the last second, it became free. It got untangled. And that's interesting how the Israelites were saying they were trapped like a bird ensnared. So that's the imagery that the Israelites are looking at. And when I look at this psalm and I see the vivid imagery and what they're talking about, floods and being trapped, and certain capture of death in this psalm, though they were helpless and their enemies did not touch them and the waters did not swallow them, they were set free. The Israelites were saved. The imagery of this psalm with floodwaters and entrapments brings to my mind the story of the Israelites and as they were escaping from Pharaoh, the Israelites of the Exodus, as they were escaping from Pharaoh, they were trapped at the head of the Red Sea, mountains to either side and the Red Sea in front of them, Pharaoh's chariots bearing down upon them, ready to devour them like prey. So perhaps the teeth of the fox were the spears and swords of the soldiers with the chariots, and the waters to engulf them were the waters as they were crossing the Red Sea. And so that's the type of imagery that we see. So the testimony of the Exodus Israelites is trapped at the Red Sea, certain death as Pharaoh's chariots raced down, certainly to be devoured like prey by them. Then God intervenes. But before that, as they were there, they didn't know God was coming. And the Israelites cried out in fear, angry, and even sarcasm. Perhaps you'll recall when the Israelites said, "Were there not enough graves in Egypt that we were led here to die?" Like they cried out to Moses and they were saying this. But in Exodus 14, Moses replies and he says, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." So Moses' direction to the Israelites was remain still and calm, just like the ensnared bird that we saw. Remain still and calm. And that's a testimony. They did. They followed. They did. They remained still and calm, and God showed up. They had no idea how, like who would even fathom that the Red Sea would part. Like that was not beyond what they can even think of. And God showed up in such a big way and they were rescued like that. So that is their testimony and that's what they're holding on to for future generations. They're looking back, look how like hopeless that was. We were totally trapped. We thought we were gonna die. We knew we were gonna die. We followed Moses' counsel, be still. And we were saved. I cling to certain testimonies in my faith walk. When Margie and I were newly like born again believers, it was a very interesting time. I was in my early 30s and I was reading the Bible for the very first time from page one on Genesis. And as I was reading, I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. Turning each page, like, wow, like, I never knew this. Like, because I was raised, with Florio in a Catholic church. My last name is Florio. And I was like, wow, I went to church every Sunday, and I went to the catechism, and I didn't even know this. And we went into this season where I was like, what church should we be in, God? Should we stay here because we're content? Or do you have something else for us? So we stopped going anywhere, and we prayed for 9 months, and I continued to read the Bible, and I was reading like these passages, and I had doubts, and so I had an honest, raw conversation. I was like, God, is this real? Like everything I'm reading, are you real? How real is this? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to follow I'm going to follow everything you're doing because if you're real, I want to know you. I really want to know you. But if this isn't real, I don't want to waste my time. So I'm going to follow all this and we'll see what happens. And so we followed. I ended up giving up my religion and we went to a church. We were led to a church that actually had like Bibles in the pews and instead of a priest had a pastor. And at this church, they had an initiative, pray for a neighbor for 30 days, pick a neighbor and pray for him for 30 days. And being like new to the faith, it was awkward for my wife and I to be praying. But we did, and we really dove into it. And we even prayed before we went to sleep at night. We even held hands, and it was so awkward to hold hands with my wife and pray at the same time. Like now it's totally natural. But that was awkward, but we pressed into that. And at the end of the 30, and we prayed hard for this couple. They were across the street. They were similar age to us. But they were nice and outgoing, where we were a little more shy. They were very successful in their jobs, where I was struggling in my job. And they were Jewish. We were, a Christian. And we prayed that they would have health and prosperity and, above all, grow closer to Jesus. And we prayed really hard, as if we had a sick child with, like, some terminal disease. That's how hard we prayed for them. I really, at the time, couldn't understand why. It was the Holy Spirit. Now I can see it was the Holy Spirit, like, leading us to pray that deeply for them. So here's the cool thing that happened was, 5 days after that 30 days ended, or a week after, I'm on my front porch and front steps, and the neighbor drives by, nice, polite, neighborly wave as you're going by, and then the car stops. It backed up, 10 feet. She rolls down the window, and she goes, "Joe, can you tell me about Jesus?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "What's up?" And she's like, "Well, we saw this documentary on TV the other night, and I have questions." And when she said that, "Can you tell me about Jesus?" I said, "This is the person that we've been praying for 30 days. And God, I've shared with you, doubts, but this moment, you've erased all my doubts." And what a blessing to have such confirmation so early on in a faith walk. And holding on to that, it allowed me for years, decades on, I remember that. I go, "This is so real." And then when I got to Exodus, I had a job where the busiest day of the week, when I was reading Exodus, I was like, "Wow, I have a job right now where the busiest day of the week is Sunday." And it says, "Don't work on Sunday." So I was like, "All right." So I ended up giving up that. And God actually blessed me with something else where I didn't have to work, where I could work Monday through Friday. But to take big leaps of faith, it wasn't such a risk, or wasn't such a leap, because I saw how God showed up with my neighbor, and it allowed me still, even to today, to recall that and many other things, that prayers that God has answered in all our lives. Then there's a recent testimony. I've shared that I've, in the past few years, went back to seminary. So 3 years ago, I left my sales position, my worldly, corporate job, and I went from having a really high salary to being a student. So I just left it, walked away, and I became a student. And the first semester, I was actually receiving unemployment. I had tried to stay in the industry, but walls would just come down and come down. I was like, "No, no, no, no!" Like six different companies, "No, no, no," and I was like, I feel trapped. I have these obligations. I have a family. I have a house. And I was led to seminary. And there, besides having no income, and eventually I got a part-time job as a student, I was now paying out tuition. So salary went from up here to down here, and now I'm paying out tuition. But we were happy. The testimony is we had so much joy while I was going to school. When I was working and had the bank account, there was frustration, there was tension, there was arguing, there was misery. And there was so much joy in the household when I was going to school that it didn't matter how little money we had as a family, because we had so much joy and we got by and we were still able to eat. Granted, I didn't buy a stitch of clothing for over 2 years. I didn't buy nothing, not even socks, underwear, shoes. My shoes, by the time I graduated, all my sets of shoes had multiple sets of holes in each shoe. And but it didn't matter. And Margie was glad that I was going because of the joy that we had. So that's something that we hold on to too, that God is with us, and where real joy comes from, following what God has for our lives. So I ask you today, what is your testimony? And really think about it. I challenge you to think now, think today, think during the days ahead. What are some things where you really cried out to God and you're going through a tough time and God showed up for the Israelites? You saw an impossible situation. And hold on to that. Really hold on to that. And when you're reflecting, remember, there are no coincidences in the kingdom of God. You know, when things happened, it's God. You know, when prayers are answered, it's God. And you know, if you don't have a testimony for yourself, you can even borrow from people around you, like from Pastor Dave or myself or people in your Bible study. Like, this happened for them, so it could happen for me. This happened for the Israelites, so it can happen for me. And look at everything that's gone on in your life, like with everything even Jesus says or things in the Bible, like love your enemies, vengeance is mine, be still and know that I am God, or be generous. These are not disjointed things, and when we follow them, that's when God shows up. That's when testimonies are formed, when we put our faith into following, the calling of God, the words of Jesus. These aren't just suggestions. These are everything. Every scripture, every encounter with Jesus is to bring us into harmony with Jesus, into alignment with God. I think every time I'm here, I'm going to reference the sermon that Pastor Dave did like over 2 years ago on being in sync with Jesus, because that's what it's all about, is being aligned with Jesus, being aligned with the kingdom of God. And that's what these testimonies help do. They give us courage and faith to step into alignment, to take these big leaps of faith. And currently, we're going through some really tough times, right? We talked about we know what's going on in our nation. We've seen what's going on in Afghanistan. And, things may get tougher. I pray they don't. I hope they don't. But if they do, I want you to have a testimony that you can not just cling to, but that you could stand on solid ground of a testimony and reflect. Like, I've seen how God has shown up in my life. And although I'm going through this tough time, be it with, health concerns or job concerns or global unrest, it's like I've seen God work in my own life. And that's the benefit of a testimony. And when you find that testimony, like, write it down. You could write it down on a note card and keep it in your bathroom or the console of your car. Or you could put on a little tiny stick-it note and tape it real good with packing tape on the back of your phone so you could look at it and say, remember, like, 4 years ago I was going through this, or last month I was going through that. I prayed, people prayed for me, and God showed up. And feel free to, like I said, to borrow from somebody, like, until you find your own. That's even helped me in a healing prayer journey. I was at a seminar, it was five years ago, and it was on healing. I didn't even know when we went up with the carload of people. I was like, why are we here? What's the topic for today? Because I always like learning. And they said, oh, it's on healing. I was like, okay. And after a time of worship, they invited people who had ailments to come up, and the pastor did some healings. But then the pastor invited members of the audience to come up who were interested. And this little boy came up, the little boy, Asian descent, cute little boy. I had to be like 8 years old, no more than 10 years old. And he went up, and the pastor coached him, like, pray for this, and, you could ask to put your hand on them and pray. And then at the end, after the little boy prayed, before the person reported what the effect of the prayer was, the pastor said, okay, here we are, we're in a church setting, like, be honest, like, no lying, be honest, like, tell us for real how you feel. And they asked, after the little boy said, how do you feel now? And they said, I feel healed. And, like, be honest, yes, I feel healed. So I said, I want that. I said, if that little boy could do that, like, and heal someone's brokenness, I could do it. If that little boy could do it, I could do it. I want to do it. So I held on to that, and that testimony of the little boy doing it, and I pressed into it and pressed into praying for others. And the good thing is, the outcome isn't on us. We're called to pray, and it's God that does the healing. It's Jesus is our healer. It's the Holy Spirit. We're simply called to stand in the gap, and God will do the rest. We're called to be still, right? Be present and pray, and God will intervene. So that's the wonders of having a testimony. So in your daily life, in your daily rhythms, when the world is closing in, when these walls are closing in, be it world events, home events, people getting sick, loved ones getting sick, or yourself, or anything, what do you cling to? So just like a week ago, my wife and I were having a real-life conversation, because I'm working bivocationally. I have like a secular-type job, and then I'm able to do ministry, and the two run side by side. And there were a lot of tensions out on the work end. And Margie was just offered up, you know, we'll be okay. Because remember when you went to seminary, we were okay and we had like close to nothing. I said, exactly. So we like pulled on that, and then the work had no hold on me anymore. Like with that conversation, the bonds were broken of the work, because you know how much stress the work could have and control and bondage on you. It was just broken. We said, even if it went away totally, I know we would be fine, because we have a testimony. It actually did go away before, and we were more than fine. We were joyful. So annual reviews have no hold on me. A lot of stuff has no hold on me, because I see how God shows up in different situations. Mm. So, who here has a testimony? You know, think, search your heart for your testimony. Mm. Most of us do have a testimony. God showed up for you. God has shown up for myself. God has shown up for the Israelites. Mm. God will show up again. Our God will never leave us or forsake us. And in the madness of our current events, go and claim a testimony. And with that testimony, Psalm 124 reminds us, you know, the trap is broken and we are set free. Our help is from the Lord. What if the Lord had not been on our side? That's the message I want to leave you with today. And so after a message like this, let's go into a time of prayer. Let's pray in particular for our fellow brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. In fact, all of the world are our brothers and sisters. If we look at our identity, we are sons and daughters of God. We are children of God. We are all made in God's likeness, in God's image. Everyone on this earth, no matter what their background is, you know, religion, ethnicity, we are all made by the same Creator, Father God. Some of us know Jesus, but we are all brothers and sisters. So our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, particularly our Christian brothers and sisters, who some are choosing to remain in the country, and there's real concern. There's I'm sure, terror and perhaps fear, and I hope there's from the Holy Spirit that there isn't, but there's even Afghans that can't leave, they have to stay, and there's some that have the ability to leave because they're maybe cooperating with the U.S. government and they're working as interpreters, but it's chaos there, it's a mess, and there's lives being lost, so let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gift of community. We thank you that all the world is actually brothers and sisters, Father. And we lift up our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. Holy Spirit, amplify the prayers of the world. Holy Spirit, amplify our prayers right now. Holy Spirit, search our hearts. Pray on our behalf. Bring a blessing to everyone in experiencing turmoil and pain and anguish in the country of Afghanistan. Bring comfort and strength and peace that only you can give. Even if someone's being tracked down because they're on the wrong list for being a Christian, bring peace to that family, bring peace to that underground church. They need to feel your presence. They need to feel how real you are. Even though the walls are closing in, the enemy with their teeth ready to pounce on them, and they feel like they're going to be engulfed by torrents of water with teeth shredding them, bring your peace that only you can give. Bless them, Father. Give blindness to guards at checkpoints. Let them just supernaturally pass families by. Let them not even realize, like, let them say, why did I do that? And let that car pass safely, Father. Show up in a real way, Father. We pray with confidence, Father. When two or more are gathered, you are with us. When two or more are in agreement, it shall be done. We can do greater things in Christ, Father. So we pray in confidence, Father, for our brothers and sisters. Bring healing, bring peace to all. Have mercy on the afflictors, Father. The growing up they must have endured, the abuse they must have endured to abuse others as adults. Have mercy on the afflictors. Have mercy on our enemies, Father. Bring peace to every single soul in that country, the afflicted and the afflictor. Bring peace that only Jesus can bring. In your loving name, Jesus, bring healing to Afghanistan. Amen.